appreciate that. Nicole played all the branches of service there, and I know some of you guys couldn't figure out which anthem was yours, and so some of the Navy stood on the Air Force and so forth like that, and some just didn't stand anything. She didn't play my anthem there. She didn't play the Draft Dodgers anthem there, you know. All we are saying is give peace a chance, you know, and heading for Canada, but she didn't play that one. Play that one there. So we appreciate the folks that did serve in the military. Thank God for them. Take your look at Numbers chapter 27, verse 12, and verse down to verse 23, as we think of this veteran who finishes his call of duty. Verse 12, and the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this Mount Abarim and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. When thou hast seen it, thou shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. That is the water of Meribah in Kadesh. Meribah means strife. The water of Meribah in Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God, the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may come in, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation. Give him a charge in their sight. Thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And Sergeant Major Rangel, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word today?
I could never praise him enough for the cross of Calvary. I could never thank him enough for salvation full and free. I could never do anything to deserve such perfect love. Oh, for everything he's done, I could never praise him enough. For many I've served the Lord the best that I know how, giving unto him my time and telling of his power. But if I were to spend unending hours on my knees, praising him for everything he's ever done for me, I could never praise him enough for the cross of Calvary. I could never thank him enough for salvation full and free. I could never do anything to deserve such perfect love. Oh, for everything he's done, I could never praise him enough. A thousand tongues could not express just what the Lord has done. And if he hadn't done enough, he gave his only son to hang upon a rugged cross and bear the load of sin. That explains why I can't express the love he has for me.
I could never praise him enough for the cross of Calvary. I could never thank him enough for salvation. mission full and free. I could never do anything to deserve such perfect love. Oh, for everything he's done, I could never, everything he's done. Oh, for everything he's done, I could never praise him enough.
Amen. And that's true, isn't it? In this season, when we think of the Thanksgiving coming up pretty soon, and we're focusing on all the things we have to praise and thank the Lord for, that's a reminder of that daily need we have to just turn around and thank God for all the good things he daily loadeth us with benefits. Take your Bible back to Numbers chapter 27, and we want to take a look at this veteran who's finished his call of duty. Numbers chapter 27, and this is, of course, Moses. 100 years ago today, as Ryan mentioned, World War I ended. It wasn't called World War I at that time. They referred to it as the Great War. It came to be celebrated as Armistice Day, the day arms were laid down, and it was, as he said, the 11th day of the 11th month and the 11th hour of that the enemy laid down their arms, and the war was over. And so Armistice Day was celebrated for years. The world had never seen a war on that scale before with that many nations involved, that many casualties, that much death and destruction. They'd never seen it. They called it the Great War. Many called it the war to end all wars. But because human nature is what it is, it's not intrinsically noble and good, as some would have us to believe. We know better than that. Human nature is not intrinsically noble and good. And because human nature is not intrinsically noble and good, wars and rumors of wars would continue. Those that knew the Bible at that time, just as those that know the Bible at this time, know that Jesus said 2,000 years ago in Matthew 24, he said, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." And so he said, you'll hear wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. So we know that the Lord Jesus Christ's words trump the words of any philosopher, any human understanding, and we recognize as Christians that yes, war is reality. Military forces, armies are reality until Jesus comes again and with the great army of heaven settles the question once and for all. More wars began and ended over the time that Armistice Day was celebrated, and then in 1954 the Congress passed a law changing Armistice Day to Veterans Day to honor all those that had served in the military in times of war. And it's come to be really more a time where we just honor all veterans who served in the military, whether in time of war or time of peace, and to just be thankful for the role that those in the military play in the peace of nations and in the carrying on of the good of the world. And so we want to express our appreciation, as we have already, to those of you that have served as veterans and are currently serving. We pray for you. We need to remind one another to pray daily for our folks that are in the armed forces with the circumstances that the world finds itself in today. Certainly we need to do that as faithfully as ever we have done. And our text today gives us the closing days of one of God's honored veterans, and that veteran was Moses. He'd been the commander-in-chief of the nation of the people of Israel from his 80th year to his 120th year. So he started late in life. Those of you that are getting up there in years, take heart. Moses started late in life, didn't he? He was 80 years old when he became the commander-in-chief, when he became the leader of the nation of Israel, and lived to that 120th year that we're coming to now. He's in that time frame now in the context of the passage we're reading now. General MacArthur once wistfully said, "Old soldiers never die, they just fade away." But the fact is the same with all men, and as it was with Moses in our text today, God knows our appointed time to die. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So God knows our time, and here he says to Moses that your time has come. He says to Moses, you're not going to be allowed to cross over the Jordan and to enter into the promised land that you've led your people to. He would die there in the plains of Moab. He would be buried there in the plains of Moab near Baal Peor. He would not have the privilege of being buried in the promised land to which he had led an entire nation of stiff-necked and rebellious people. He would be left outside there, and the Bible tells us that God buried him, and his sepulcher is not known unto this day. But I wanted to draw some lessons from the passage for us today, some thoughts that will apply to our own lives as we think about them. As we think about this last days, these last hours, last days of this veteran who finishes the call to duty that God had given him many, many years earlier. We see, first of all, God's grace in Moses' last days. The grace of God in Moses' last days. Moses had asked to be able to go in. In fact, he had petitioned the Lord about this more than once. So many times, in fact, that the Lord said, I don't want to hear it again. Have you as a father or mother ever finally said that to your kids? I don't want to hear it again. Hershey's one who keeps asking the question and keeps asking it a different way and keeps asking it a different way until dad finally in frustration says, I don't want to hear it again. Don't say it. Don't ask, you know. Don't ask because he's explained and explained and explained, and Hershey's one of those guys that just wants to hear it again. Hear it again. So that was the same with Moses. He'd ask, he'd ask, he'd ask, and the Lord had refused to let him in. And finally the Lord said, don't ask again. Don't ask again. You're not going to go in. Let's take a look at that. In Deuteronomy, Moses recorded it, the actual event of the conversation between he and God concerning that. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23 to verse 27. Deuteronomy 3, verse 23 to verse 27. He said, and I besought the Lord at that time. I was asking him, I was begging him. I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven and earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, I ask thee, I beg thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan. He said, I just want to go over and see it. I just want to go over and see it, Lord. Let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan. I've been 40 years with this stiff-necked and rebellious people. I'd love to see the land of promise that you've given to them. Lord, at least let me go over and see the land. And he says, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. And the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up to the top of Pisgah. Lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. So God did bring him up to Mount Pisgah. When Charlie was taking us around to the various locations there, he pointed out that area and where it would have been, that Moses would have looked across the Jordan over into the promised land. He showed us those places and showed us how that event must have taken place. And God granted Moses the request in one sense of the word. He granted him the sight to see it all. He granted him the ability to see it all. And we see that explained in the 34th of Deuteronomy, where Moses is talking about what he saw there and how he saw it. And so he did get the request that he had made there in one sense. Look at Deuteronomy 34, the last part of Deuteronomy. 34 and verse 1 through 4. Deuteronomy 34, verse 1 through 4. Granted the right by God to see it all without actually entering into it. And Moses, verse 1, chapter 34, Deuteronomy. Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho, is opposite side Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. And Dan's way up north in the far north there, the north extent of Israel, and unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah to the utmost sea, clear to the Mediterranean, and the south, and the plain, and the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither.
So God granted him, in one sense, the request, the last request of this old veteran who had finished his call to duty. God gave him his last request and being able to see all of that promised land. And then God assured him of his future as he said, you're going to be gathered unto your people. In the passage we read, we saw that how God said, you're going to be gathered unto your people, unto Aaron and unto your forefathers. You're going to be done with this long work here. You're going to be reunited with your brother. Going to get to see Sister Miriam again. Going to be reunited with your faithful parents, Amram and Jochebed. You're going to be able to go on meeting the ones that you've just read about and you've heard talked about. You'll be able to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 sons of Jacob. And you'll be able to talk with them about what you have seen and the place that the people of Israel now are going to occupy and are going to become a great nation. And so he gave him the assurance of his future there and what would take place in that coming meeting when this veteran is finally called to lay down his arms and take up his place with those that had gone before him, gathered unto his people. So certainly we see God's grace even in the discipline of Moses. We see the grace of God to extend to him all these benefits and blessings in this last of his days. But then secondly, we see God's governing justice in Moses' last days as well. His governing justice, what God has said, he can't go back and change and undo. What God has said is that Moses would bear the consequences of his rebellious actions on that day long before at the waters of Meribah, at the waters of strife. God reminded Moses of the why of his days on earth ending in Moab instead of in the promised land. He reminded him of the what had occurred as we read it there in verse 14 of the passage we read earlier. For ye rebelled against my commandment, Numbers 27, ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the waters before their eyes. That is the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. He reminded him of that fact and his momentary rebellion. It was only momentary. It was quickly adjusted, but it was an act that led to other issues that were far-reaching. So we see that his rebellion was not looked upon by God as a light thing, even though it was a passing thing. His joining in the rebellious spirit of his people was not looked upon by God as something that could be just passed over and overlooked. And there's some lessons in there for us. One of the lessons is this: the more responsibility we have, the more accountability we have also. It's one thing for one of the people of Israel to express that kind of a rebellious spirit, and that's not acceptable in the eyes of God, but it's entirely another thing for one in authority, a father or a priest or a prophet or a king or the commander-in-chief, Moses, to express rebellion before the eyes of the people. It's a greater accountability with a greater responsibility. A rebelling child will not necessarily influence the mature people around him to rebelling. But it's different with a rebelling leader. It's different with a rebelling father. It's different with a rebellious pastor or a rebellious governmental leader or a rebellious police officer. It's different when they express rebellion against authority, rebellion against the right. It's a different influence, a different set of influences there, and a greater accountability before God when we who are in positions of leadership and positions of responsibility, and that would include most of us here in one capacity or another, we who are in positions of responsibility, positions of leadership, have a greater accountability to God to do right and to not express a frustration and a rebellion against our authorities and ultimately against God. For though Moses was frustrated, though Moses was at the end of his wits with the people and their spirit. Though those things were true, none of that gave him the opportunity to exercise this spirit of rebellion and disgust that he exercised. And so it is with us as well. You know, if anyone had a valid excuse to lose control of his temper and let his passions fly, if anyone had a valid excuse for it, it would have been Moses. In fact, we see a little reflection of that in Psalm 106 and verse 32, where it says, "They angered him also at the waters of strife." They angered him. It was the people that brought Moses to that place of anger. It was they who angered him. It was not him that was just being self-centered and self-serving, as we often get angry about. It was they who angered him. They angered him at the waters of strife. And you know, the rest of the verse says, "And so it went ill with Moses for their sakes." Because of them, Moses had it bad. It went ill with Moses for their sakes. And verse 33 says, "Because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips." Now, if anyone had excuse for speaking unadvisedly and blowing it and just letting it loose, it would have been Moses. And even God concedes that it was the people that drove him to it. It was the people that were responsible for it. It went bad for Moses because of them. They provoked him. And over again, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to get this, that it's the people that have provoked Moses to that. And it was a clear-cut case of provocation to the point where Moses just blew it. He just let it go. But even that being the case, God makes no provision for us to get a pass on that. God makes no provision for you and I to get a pass when, you know, we're driven to do something that is wrong. And we're driven to do something that is wrong by all of these circumstances and persons and so forth, and we just let it go. No, God does not give you a pass to be able to get away with that because of the circumstances. We can't do that. Well, I wouldn't have said that, but she just knows how to push my buttons, he says. She says, I wouldn't have done that, but he just knows how to get under my skin. And so I just had to let him have it, you know. Well, that would be all right if Moses had gotten away with it. Moses didn't get away with it, did he? And you won't, and I won't either. We are to be reminded that our words and our actions do have consequences. Whether they're good or whether they're bad, they have consequences. Our words can be good and have good consequences. Our word can be bad and have bad consequences. But our words and our actions do have consequences. James warned us and advised us this way. Now Moses, he is recorded as speaking unadvisedly with his lips. He said something that he didn't think through. He said something that was, there was no counsel to say it. He said something where he didn't get any advice from God or anyone else concerning what he was to say. And when he said it, he regretted it. He regretted it. And he faced the consequences of the words and actions. And James says it this way in James 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, that's good, wise counsel. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. The Proverbs tells us that even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. So even somebody who knows nothing and is really a foolish person, if he just keeps his mouth shut, eventually people think, that's a wise man over there. He never says anything about anything, but he must be really smart. And why is that? Because James said, if we're slow to speak and slow to wrath, we'll stay out of a lot of trouble, you know. Wouldn't you stay out of a lot of arguments with your wife if you were just slow to speak and slow to wrath? Wouldn't you stay out of a lot of conflicts with your husband, ladies, if you were just slow to speak and slow to wrath? Oh, it would make a big difference in our families if we would take the advice of the counsel of the Holy Spirit of God and do what he tells us to do. And Moses spoke unadvisedly with his lips. Have you spoken unadvisedly with your lips this week? I have. I imagine you have too. By the grace of God, let's say, God, help me to go a day without speaking unadvisedly with my lips. Help me to go 2 days and then a week without speaking unadvisedly with my lips. Lord, help me in that. And that is something that we learn from Moses' actions here. And God said, as much as I would like to, Moses, you're the man of God. You're the meekest man on earth. You're meek above all men. Your interests are always others-oriented. Your desire is to please and honor God with your life. But in this, I cannot concede. I cannot go back on what I have told you would be the consequences of your actions, and that those consequences are going to be carried out. Because you see, God is not only gracious, but he's also just. And he governs with justice. These are Moses' last days. Moses is about to pass off the scene, and he gives him the blessing and the benefit of seeing the promised land, but he says, no, you're going to die on this side without ever entering into the land of promise. So a good lesson for us there. Thirdly, this morning, Moses' great concern in his last days is the third thing we see. Moses' great concern in his last days. It was not about himself. It was not even about his own family, but it was about the congregation. When he learns that he will be called home before entering into the promised land with the people, his first request is, Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh, would you please set a man over this congregation? This congregation is going to be like sheep without a shepherd if you don't set a man over this congregation. And he said, Lord, would you do that? Would you make sure there's someone that follows my steps, that comes after me, that will continue to lead him in the right way? And Lord, would you do that? You see, Moses' great concern in his last hours of his last day was the people of God, the people that God had brought to this point, the congregation of the saints that were gathered there on that side Jordan, ready to cross over. And Moses makes that wonderful request, and God grants him that one. God grants him another shepherd to lead them. He is to be a man, God says, that is filled with the Spirit of God, as verse 18 declared it. He said it's to be a man that's going to continue in the same direction, Moses, that you have taken the congregation of Israel, a man that will continue in the same direction. And God said to Moses, he said, now you lay your hands on Joshua the son of Nun. Lay your hands upon him and confer some of thine honor unto him. And so Moses did that. God said to Moses, I want you to give Joshua a charge, but not a private charge. I want you to give him a charge before all the congregation of Israel. I want them to hear the words of that charge, and I want you to charge Joshua as the coming leader of that people. I want you to charge him before all. He was to be a man that would seek urgently and every day and all the time, seek after the counsel of God's words. See verse 21 there of chapter 27, Numbers, verse 21. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim and before the Lord. At his word, at the Lord's word, shall they go out. At his word, at the Lord's word, shall they come in. Both Joshua, and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. So he says to Moses, I'm going to put a man who has a heart like yours, who has a direction like yours, who has a passion like yours for God's people. I'm going to put a man who I'll put the honor that I put on you, on him. I'm going to put a man who is concerned about the power of the word and the direction of the word and the influence of the word of God, and one who will come to the priest and come to the altar and come to the place where he can meet with the Lord and get the word of God before he goes out and takes any actions. That's the man I want to put in that place. So God granted him that greater desire. Oh, I'm sure Moses had a desire to go in. He would have liked to have gone in. God whispered in his ear, I think, and said, don't worry about it. I'm going to let you go in before I return again. And he did. Remember the Mount Transfiguration? Moses was one of those that was able to be there on the Mount Transfiguration. And he got to see it. He got to go into it, as a matter of fact. It just wasn't at the time he thought it would be. And he'll get to enjoy it again, he will. But God said, this part of your journey is finished, and you're going to be called home. And I'm going to put in your place one who will continue to carry on the work as you had led the people of God up to that point. I'm going to put that man in your place. And so he gave him that promise, and Moses was content with that. Moses didn't ask for any more for himself or his family. he was content with that, that God would carry on the people and would lead the people through Joshua. He was content with that. So Moses gets to be buried with honors, and he's given a burial by God himself. The scriptures recorded. Let's look over in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and see his funeral service. Deuteronomy chapter 34, the last chapter. The Bible is the first five books of the Bible written by Moses. And so here's Moses writing the words, perhaps. Maybe it was Joshua, but perhaps God foreshadows for Moses what would take place, and it's written down and recorded. But here he records the funeral service of this saint of God, this commander-in-chief, this veteran of a long war, who's now finished his call to duty and is now to be laid to rest. Deuteronomy 34, verse 5, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. The children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all the servants, to all his land, and all that mighty hand and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel." So Moses there buried with honors, and given that treatment by the Lord that no one else has been given. There hasn't been anyone else been buried by the Lord himself, by God himself, but Moses was that man, meek above all men, one whose natural force was not abated, one whose eyesight was as good as it was when he was 20 years old when he died, and one who God gave many benefits and blessings to and buried him with honor. This old veteran, his call of duty finished now. And so, Christian, may God help us to finish our call of duty with honor. May God help you to continue in the duties that God has given to you and to be faithful as a good soldier, as a good servant of Jesus Christ. God help you to do that. I wonder this morning also, have you met the Lord as Moses did? The Bible says, whom he knew face to face. Whom he knew face to face. Does he know you? Have you met the Lord Jesus face to face? Does he know you? Matthew records a coming day of judgment, and he says there will be religious people there in that day of judgment, and some that even say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done many, many wonderful works in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name?" And on they list a list of wonderful religious works and good deeds that they had done. And the Lord said to them, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And they say, "Why?" And he says, "Because I never knew you. I never knew you. We never met face to face. I never got acquainted with you. You never came and turned from sin and trusted me as your Savior. You got religion and you got works. You got going good and you got all the, you know, ducks in a row, religiously speaking, but I never knew you. I never knew you." And I wonder this day if you know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, if you've met him face to face, if you've come in repentance and faith and trusted him as your Savior, and you know that he saved you, you know that you're a child of God. If not, you need to come and meet him today. Come and trust him today. There's nothing you need to do. The actions are all taken care of. All he waits for you is a willingness on your part to say yes to Jesus and to be willing to be turned from sin. You can't even, and I can't even turn from sin ourselves with our own strength. We soon turn back. But he'll give you the grace to be able to turn you. He'll turn you if you're willing to be turned. And that's what repentance is. It's a willingness to let the Lord have control and turn you whithersoever he will. And if you have that willingness, that's repentance. You come in that willingness to Christ and confess your need to trust Him as your Savior, for Him to save you, and He will. He will here and now. It's simple, so simple a child can understand it, yet so profound. The most brilliant of professors in the most exclusive of universities can't seem to grasp it sometimes. But I wonder today if you have met the Lord Jesus face to face, if you know Him like Moses knew Him, if the Lord Jesus can say, "I know you, I know you." And that's what we're talking about today. Come and trust Him as your Savior if you haven't yet. And then, Christian, let's ask the Lord to help us be faithful in our call to duty. Let's stand together and give an invitation this morning. If the Spirit of God has directed you to respond today as a Christian, you might want to come to the altar and use this altar a place of commitment to pray. Maybe you're here and you believe this is where God wants you to serve together until He does call you home and you finish your tour of duty. And you need a place to serve, maybe God has impressed upon your heart to come and present yourself for membership. Maybe you're saved here, but you haven't been obedient to the Lord in biblical baptism, and you need to be baptized biblically, and you need to be scripturally baptized today. You're saved already, but haven't been obedient to the Lord in baptism. You come and submit yourself for that, and the next time we baptize, we'll baptize you as well. And so that may be your need. But most important of all is if you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, to come and trust Him. Let's bow our heads together in a word of prayer. And our heads are bowed, no one's looking about. Let me ask you a personal question. You're here and you say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I don't know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure I know the Lord face to face. I'm not sure I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but I'm concerned enough to say, pray for me. Here's my hand. I want to lift it up and ask you to pray for me. I won't call you by name or embarrass you in any way, but I want to pray for you, all right? I see that hand. You may put it down. Pastor, I don't know. All right, see that hand? You put it down. Pastor, I don't know that for sure. I'm not sure. I know the Lord face to face. I know about Him. I know what the Bible says, some of what the Bible says about Jesus, but I don't know if I could say I know Him personally, face to face. I've not had that new birth, that experience of being born again. I don't know for sure. Pray for me. Here's my hand. Somebody else or several? All right. Father, I pray for these adults that have lifted their hand and indicated a question concerning their soul salvation. I pray, Father, that You would make today the day of decision for them, the day of commitment. I pray that they would be willing to turn from sin to You. I know that we can't do anything in and of ourselves, but Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would give them that grace to be able to make those changes that Your Holy Spirit leads them to. But Father, You just wait for their willingness. And if they're willing today, I pray that You would just draw them to Yourself and save them today. And Father, I pray that You would help us as Christians as well to respond to Your Holy Spirit, and that You would lead us to do what we ought to do. Maybe there's people here that need to follow You in believer's baptism. They've been saved, but they haven't been baptized biblically. I pray, Father, that you'd cause them to make that step of obedience. It's not going to make them any more saved, but it's certainly going to show that they want to follow You and do what You want them to. So I pray that You'd cause them to make that commitment today. I pray, Father, for other Christians that just need to respond to Your Holy Spirit's work in their lives in other ways that maybe weren't even mentioned in the text of the message today. I just pray they would come too. I ask Your blessing and invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. And with their heads still bowed, if you need to come and trust Christ as your Savior, come and let us show you out of the Bible. If it's a man comes, we'll have a man take you over to the one side and show you the Scripture, how to call on Christ and how to know you're saved. If a lady comes, we'll have a lady take you aside and show you out of the Bible how to know for sure you're saved. And you can in a few moments know Christ and be confident that you're on your way to heaven. Then if you're here and you got some of those other decisions to make, you come as well. What are we singing, Ryan? 562, Just As I Am, a great old invitation hymn. We sing that. You come like you are. Come just like you are, and let's do business with the Lord today, will you?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood
others are coming. How about you today, will you? If you lifted a hand and said, "Pray for me, I need to be saved," will you come and let us show you how to be saved?
Come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as
You need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You come and let's get that lined up.
Dark blot,
need a church home. This is where God wants you. You come.
Whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within.
Christian, are we fighting the good fight of faith?
Upholding
our call to duty. Sing another verse if you need to come.
I come just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches healing on the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Attention this morning, and a special thanks to all of our veterans today and those currently serving the United States military in whatever branch you're in. And your assignment is to go home and learn what your branch hymn is, so you'll know when to stand next time. All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. Come on back tonight, 6 p.m. service, as we are in the book of Hebrews.